to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip. It's golf and other four-letter words. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and Sirius XM Radio, Mr. Dennis Silvers.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. Thank you for that nice round of applause. Welcome to another edition, our 18th to be exact, Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. As mentioned, I'm your host and proud to be your host, Dennis Silvers, and you're in store for another terrific, energetic, we've got kind of a theme show tonight. You know, we're talking about, we're going to be talking about wedges a lot, and we're going to talk, and that's, a lot of people call that the scoring part of the game. And our guest tonight is very, very, very knowledgeable about that because that's what he does. So without further ado, let me introduce our special guest for tonight. Give it up for Mr. Terry Kaler.
Thank you.
Hey, buddy.
Nice to be here.
Terry is speaking about scoring part of the game that we're going to do. It just so happens, and this is a nice segue that I'm getting into. Terry is the president of Score Golf, and we're going to be talking about what score is throughout the show. And it kind of worried me a little bit, Terry, when I heard that you were talking about score. I thought maybe you were going to open an escort service or something here in Las Vegas. So,
well, you know, I think there are plenty of them out here.
There's plenty of them out here. Always
tough.
Room for
there's
more,
plenty
though.
Of golf companies, but I think the escort competition would be a little tougher than even the golf business.
There's always room for that. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that, so stay tuned. We're going to be having a lot of great questions in our last segment of the show, Handicap Helper, about wedge play, about scoring. And this is the man who's the expert on it, so I don't want you to miss a word of that. Anyway, a lot of ways you can get a hold of myself or Terry. We've got email, of course, and that is simply golf@VegasVideoNetwork.com. We have live chat. All you have to do is go to our website, VegasVideoNetwork.com, hit that live chat button, send us your questions, your comments, your whatever you want to do. We'd love to hear from you that way. Also have a toll-free number, which is 866-966-4599. So use that. Doesn't cost you a dime to call us and let you hear from us. Also, when you're on our website, VegasVideoNetwork.com, got a minute or two, check out all of the other great shows that are seen right here exclusively on the network. We're also on iTunes. We're also on YouTube. We're also on Roku, which is doing great. And most importantly, we're also on your nerves a lot of times. So anyway, don't worry about it. Want to talk right now about our great sponsor, Las Vegas. Let me get the teeth in, Terry. Las Vegas Paiute Golf Resort. Wonderful, wonderful place. As you know, and I talk about it every week, they are the only 54-hole facility in the valley. Three great courses, Wolf, Snow Mountain, Sun Mountain, fabulous. They're at 2,800 feet, okay? They call it 2,800 feet of no stress. And why? Because you're always about 8 to 10 degrees cooler when you play out there, when you're playing in the valley, especially when it's 110, 111 in the valley. Go out to Paiute, you're going to be a lot cooler. You're going to be feeling a lot better about your golf game, okay? They never close for overseeding like a lot of courses right now. Time of year, they close, so you can't play your course. Don't worry about Paiute. Go out there. They got three courses. They never close. They don't overseed. Always could get a great tee time out there. Right now, this time of year, great specials, not only for their card holders, but also great local rates. So give them a call. Local number is 658-1400. Also got a toll-free number for you, 800-711-2833. So give them a call. As they say, some great local rates going on right now, not only for locals, but for the out-of-town resort players that are going to go see them. So if you haven't played Las Vegas Paiute Golf Resort, wonderful, wonderful facility. All right, four-letter word for tonight is loft. There it is, loft. Why loft? Well, Terry is certainly going to be talking about loft on tonight's show. Our show certainly has lofty goals to provide you with great guests every week when we come on air. And finally, we hope that you're watching the show from some comfy, cozy loft somewhere. Okay? So how's that? I think that worked in pretty well.
I think so.
Okay. I'm glad you agreed. All right. Let's get to our first segment of the show where we talk about what happened last week on the PGA Tour as far as the winter, and we call that Tournament Scorecard. All right, welcome back, everybody. Dennis Silvers, Terry Kaler, golf and other four-letter words. Terry Webb Simpson gets his, I love the first name, Webb. I love it. Webb Simpson gets his first PGA Tour win last Sunday at the Wyndham Championship, the final full field event, as you know, before the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs, right, which start tomorrow. Webb was player of the year in 2008 at a great, great school, Wake Forest, who produced one or two great, great golfers, you know, like Arnold Palmer, just to name a few. We always go through the list of what a win means for these guys on the money list. Webb moves from number 14 to number 5 with a mere $3,660,000. That's not a bad year so far.
No, bad for weekend playoff work.
That's pretty good. World ranking goes from number 55 to number 33. World ranking points are always important as far as getting into invitational and other special events. FedEx Cup races, we mentioned that starts tomorrow at the Barclays. He moves from number 12 to number 3 with 1,861 points. And I think he finds himself only about 351 points or so behind Nick Watney, local Las Vegas guy, leading the FedEx Cup. So good on Webb. Also top 10 finishes, moves to a T5. So when you win a tournament, you get a lot of top 10s like he does. That translates into a lot of money, doesn't it, Terry?
Absolutely. It's just amazing how much money they're playing.
Have you watched this guy play at all a little bit? You like his action, like his game?
I like all of these young guys. I'm just amazed by how far they hit the golf ball and how hard they hit the golf ball. And I'm an old school kind of guy, and I grew up with Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson as my heroes of my childhood. And I look at the scores they shot with the equipment they had compared to what these guys have now, and just the how far they hit 7-irons versus 7-irons today, or drivers versus drivers. And it's mind-boggling how far these guys hit it to me.
It's a whole different game. It is a whole different game. Like I said, some of these guys hit their driver farther than some of the vacations I've taken. It is bad. Now, you mentioned Ben Hogan, and you also mentioned Lord Byron. Is that because, do I detect a little Texonian accent? Why did you bring those guys up?
Well, they were my childhood heroes.
Okay.
I was very fortunate growing up. My father had actually played an exhibition with Mr. Hogan back in the 30s when those guys would play golf for a couple of $100 anywhere. There was no money out there.
Oh, and that's cool.
So I grew up with Ben Hogan's books in my hand. Those were the Bibles for golf in our household.
Absolutely.
And in South Texas, when you reached some point in your golf life that you were growing up to adult clubs, you were anointed with McGregor, Persimmon Woods, and
Absolutely.
Ben Hogan blades,
and
that's what you played with in my world.
Absolutely. I still contend, Terry, that, and of course there was some rumblings when Tiger was on a hot streak a couple of years ago, but I still contend the record that Lord Byron set with 11 straight PGA Tour victories is never, never, never going to be broken. What's your view on it?
I don't see how it could. I mean, there was a lot of talent out there then, obviously, but that was all happening during the war years, and a lot of the players were off at the war, and not that there wasn't any talent. There was still a lot of talent, but, I mean, even if you were playing nobodies, to be up for 11 straight tournaments and not, you know, hit a glitch, and it's phenomenal athletic achievement to me.
It is. I think that record is going to stand forever. But that's something like young guys like Webb Simpson could shoot for. And, you know, these guys maybe get two, maybe get three, which is really, really rare on the PGA Tour today. But 11, I mean, that's just totally out of sight. That is never going to happen. All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to step away, take a short break. We come back, we're going to have our second segment, one of my favorites. We call that Birdies and Bogeys, and that's going to be brought to you by Golfer's Guide. Hang around. We're back with you right after this.
Let me know when I'm live. Hi, everybody. This is Bridget Magnus of Getting Real Estate in Vegas, and you are watching the Vegas Video Network.
We'll be right back. I love her. I love her. She does a great show on real estate because she is real. So that is perfect for her. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. Dennis Silver is Terry Kaler. And this segment, Birdies and Bogeys, is brought to you, as it is every week, by Golfer's Guide, America's largest golf publication. You're familiar with it.
We have in Texas. We have that.
Absolutely. All you have to do is go to the website, llasvegas.golfersguide.com. Check them out. They are very kind where they also stream our show on their homepage, Terry.
Great.
And this little booklet is filled with everything you want to know about your local golf courses, both private and public. They've got articles here about instruction, about discounters. So you can pick this up at your Muni or your private club. And it's really, really a nice guide to have before you go out learning a little bit about the golf course that you're playing. So again, LasVegas.GolfersGuide.com. Check them out. All right, birdies or bogeys, Terry. I'm going to give you some tour gossip, some news that's going on, and I want you to tell me whether you think it's a birdie or a bogey and why you think so. All right, beginning with Adam Scott a couple of weeks ago at Firestone. Again, former UNLV Rebel. Adam Scott, got to get that cheap plug in. Keegan Bradley, of course, the winner at the PGA Championship. And now Webb Simpson at the Wyndham. The last three PGA Tour winners, Terry, all using long putters. What's up? You see a trend, good or bad?
Ooh. I'm a traditionalist, so I'm going to give them a birdie for being creative and finding a way to win, because that's what it's all about.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them a bogey because I'm a traditionalist. I'd like to see the game not be changed too much. I'd have them all playing persimmon and blades if I could.
Yeah.
You're out there making a living,
yeah,
and you got to do what it takes to win. And I think there's a lot, you've got to probably take a lot of hassling from your fellow players when you put that belly putter in there or you put that long putter in there. But then if you beat them, got to take a birdie on that.
Absolutely. Now, you know, it's interesting because the last three victories have been won with guys using the broom. That has increased the talk about maybe USGA, R&A, or whatever, about banning this thing. You think that's going to go anywhere?
I'm giving a bogey on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, this game is hard. This game is losing players because it's hard. And while I'm a stickler for the rules, and I think that we have to have rules, we have to have structure, we have to have organization, the guys on tour play a different game than we play. And, you know, if it helps you play the game better, I say get after it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with it. I think we've got something on live chat. Scott?
Yeah, Nate wants to know, do you know when the long putters were first brought onto the tour, when they were first allowed to be used?
I think that we first saw those in the 80s, and we saw a bunch of the guys that are now on the Champions Tour using them, and I think actually the Senior Tour is where you started seeing a lot of those, and there was a big boom in it. I think that, if I remember right, the numbers were there were 300,000 and 400,000 long putters sold for a couple of years there, and it captured, if I remember right, 12% or 15% of the putter category.
Market share, yeah.
But then they just kind of went away.
Right.
And there was, you know, airline issues of traveling with your long putter, and then they came with the screw-out handles, and there was a lot of that. And then they just went away. And then I guess Freddie Couples kind of came back with the belly putter a few years ago. And now that kind of resurgence, and these young guys are going to it. And I think you're going to see
young.
Yeah, it's working for them. And it's not, you have to do with what works. I mean, it's a tough game out there.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. 32-year-old Isabel Besiegel, playing in this week's Women's Canadian Open, became the first woman to earn status on the Men's Canadian Tour. Not only that, she's already made four cuts in about six or seven events or eight events, something like that. Birdie or bogey?
Man, I'm going birdie all the way on that. Okay. Go, girl. You go. I'm all about it. Michelle Wee went out there. I think she was too young to go take that challenge. But if this girl can play and make cuts and, I mean, I think she's going to have a hard time competing just for the physical part of the game that they're playing now.
I agree.
But, you know, if she thinks she can compete, I think this game is all about testing yourself at the highest level, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations and seeing how you do.
Well, I do, too. And obviously, you mentioned Michelle Wee, and that's the difference between Michelle Wee. Wasn't making any cuts at all. At least this young lady is making cuts, obviously, being competitive. So I agree with you there as far as the birdie. You know, go for it. And it's going to help her game anyway in the long run. You know, teeing it up with the guys. All right, tour player J.B. Holmes withdrew from the Barclays, that starts tomorrow, to prepare to have brain surgery to repair what they call structural defects in the part of the brain that controls balance. Obviously something golfers need very badly. I don't know. I guess this kind of gives a new meaning to the term, you know, head case or something when you're talking about golfers. Birdie or bogey, it's got to be a birdie for this guy because he was diagnosed and he's going to get fixed.
Exactly. I can't imagine trying to play this game with, you know, a hangnail, much less something like that. And, birdies to this guy, I think all of us have him in our prayers. I mean, just people fight those kind of battles. They can use all the help they can.
And he said it sounds worse than it actually is. It, you know, the operation, I think, is about an hour and a half or something. So
when they put a knife on you, you know, it's still serious.
Yeah, so he's going to be out the rest of the season. But for all the J.B. Holmes fans, expect him to see him back on tour in 2012. Real quickly, I just want to throw this in. Tiger Woods slipping to number 36 in the world rankings, Terry.
I'm pleading the fifth on that one.
Okay.
No, I don't know. You can lose this game as quick as you can get it. And whether he ever comes back, who knows? He's a great athlete. The way he swing a golf club puts a lot of strain on that left side. His left knee's been, three surgeries or something. And who knows if he'll ever get it back where he can trust it. But Tiger's also the kind of guy who may change his whole golf swing again to compensate. He's got a lot of talent, but he's got a lot of demons, too.
Yeah, a lot of rumblings about him maybe wanting to play in a fall event. Of course, everybody here in Las Vegas is falling all over themselves trying to get him to play in the Justin Timberlake Shriners thing, but I don't think Tiger's coming back to Las Vegas. Anyway, got another live chat. Scott?
Yeah, do you guys think that Tiger will come back to the level he used to play at?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't even think close.
I think it's hard to get back. First of all, the level he played, I think, was just an aberration. That was just lightning in a bottle for a few years. Can he ever trust his body like he used to trust it? Can he ever get his head square? Golf in the Kingdom is one of my favorite books, and there's a line in there about it takes perfect balance to play your best golf, and that's life balance. And
that's
Tiger's
right.
Life certainly an imbalance.
Yeah. No, I don't think he ever will come close. This one I love, the Bethany College men's golf team, Terry, in Lindsborg, Kansas, which is right in the, you know about this, right in the middle of Bible country, took a team photo where the entire team was in the buff to use as an unofficial team photo. The guys strategically placed, covered their man parts with head covers, emphasis on the word head. I guess. And this college is connected with the Lutheran Church. What do you say about that?
You got to give these guys a bogey.
A double bogey!
You got to give them a birdie for just getting outside the box. And going, how about this for a good idea? But then you got to realize that, I guess the older I get, the younger I realize 20 and 19 years old is. And it's like, you know, you wonder, what other kind of outside influences do they have in that decision process?
The athletic director, probably the coach is obviously just pulling the
hair out. Absolutely.
There's more to this story, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, and we're gonna follow up. Finally, a German golfer who lost a bet in 2005 to a British golfer he was playing with spent more than $1,600, and he traveled 800 miles to the UK to try and track this guy down to buy him a beer because he lost a bet. He was going to buy him a beer, and it's still not reported whether he has found this guy or not.
Hey, paying your bets off, you got to give a birdie to this guy for the diligence.
So.
He might get an eagle on that one.
I guess so. All right, I agree with you. That's really going over and above. That's really going over and above. So
yeah, most guys are ducking out the locker room.
Yeah,
keep
that's
paying,
true.
Paying
well,
off.
You know what they say. That's why there's a saying in golf, and Terry knows it. Fast pay makes fast friends, right?
Exactly.
So you got to remember that. All right, that's birdies and bogeys. We're going to get to our last segment, and this is the one that's going to help you. It's going to help me. So don't forget. Get on live chat, call the toll-free number, send an email if you want some questions answered, particularly about short games. So we're going to get right now, get in a handicap helper. All right, we are back, everybody, with more golf and other four-letter words. Dennis Silvers, Terry Kohler, watching this on the Vegas Video Network. Brandon emails in, Terry, to ask for help hitting little pitch shots off of tight lies. He says more times than not, he's going to chunk the ball. I'm right with you there, brother, because I got the same problem. What's your advice?
Tight lies are tough. You have to trust your golf club. You have to trust the, and I have two things that I just really stress on people for tight lies. And one of them is you've got to keep your hands, Brandon, ahead of the club through impact. When you come through, you've got to be leading that club. And a great little tip is focus your eyes on the forward edge of that golf ball. Focus the side toward the target and just zero in on that forward edge, and it helps you make crisp, clean contact. Let the club get the ball in the air. Don't try to help it in the air yourself.
Yeah, don't, because that's the kiss of death. Very good answer. That's going to help you, Brandon. Tony writes and wants to know what he can do, Terry, to become better with distance control on shots of 100 yards or less. Excellent question. A real common problem for a lot of amateur players.
It is. And
this is right up your alley.
It's right up our alley, because that's what our golf company is all about, is making golf clubs that give you better distance control. Find the club you like. Learn two or three swing lengths. That's the easiest way. You have a full swing, and then you have maybe a half swing, and manage your distance control with the speed of your body rotation, and don't let yourself get handsy. So if you have a very simple, one of my favorite golfers to watch is Steve Stricker. It's like one moving part. He's here,
excellent.
He's back,
yep.
He's through. There's not a lot of movement. There's not a lot of wrist hinging.
That's excellent.
And that is such an easy way to control distance. My little trick is I feel like your body core has three speeds in the short game. You've got school zone, which is a very slow, deliberate. You've got city driving, which is a little more body core speed. And you've got highway driving in the old school, 55 miles an hour. And that's just a nice, smooth highway drive, and you never speed when you're short game.
I like that. I've never heard that. That's a very good analogy. Great answer. All right, Earl says that he thinks his wedges are too heavy, Terry, and can't seem to get the feel he wants around the green. Any suggestions?
There probably are. If you're playing conventional wedges off the rack, they're going to have a heavy, stiff steel shaft. If you're playing graphite shafts in your irons, or if you're playing light steel in your irons, you have a big disconnect. And I'm a big believer that your wedges and your irons have to have what I call a seamless transition. So if you're playing graphite shaft in your irons, get that same weight shaft in your wedges, right, so that they feel the same. And this is a big part of what we've done in our golf company, is offer a lot of shaft options, and you don't see that in the store. You need to go to a custom shop, or you need to go to somebody that knows golf clubs and have them look at your irons, have them look at your wedges, and reshaft those wedges, and at the very least, get those wedges matched up.
Wedges
in general have a little heavier swing weight,
right,
and we want that, but if you have a disconnect in the weight of the overall weight of the golf club, it's going to make the wedge play very difficult.
Good point. Very good point. Scott, live chat.
Yes, sir. Bill G, let me see, says, I saw some infomercial with some ball on the shaft of the club that helps. Oh, I've seen this. It's a ball that wraps around the shaft so that when you swing it, the ball rushes down to the head,
uh-huh,
and increases the speed of the club. Have you seen one of these things before?
Well, I think at last count, there's something like 12 million of these kind of devices out there. there are so many things that are some are gimmicky, some are really good. I can't comment on that one because I haven't seen it. But the proper release, anything that lets you learn how to properly release the golf club is going to help you. And that is the number one flaw most golfers have. They're releasing the golf club too early in their backswing. They're not letting their hands stay soft on the golf club so that centrifugal force can release that golf club.
And do you run the risk, though, of then getting used to that thing on your golf shaft?
I don't know if that's a training device or if that is a... If it's an actual attachment on your golf club.
Well, it is.
It's
a training club, and I'll tell you why. Because David Ledbetter, one of the most renowned teachers in the world, actually came out with one, sent me one.
Right.
And it's an excellent, excellent training device. And like you say, specifically
you can feel it,
for
hear
the release.
It, exactly.
But it's nothing that you put on your club at all. So it's very, very good. All right, moving along, Marilyn. I'm sorry, Marvin, wants some explanation as to what the term bounce means.
That's a good one, Marvin. I'm going to grab one of our wedges to kind of illustrate that.
Just happen to have that handy.
I'm going to see if I can get this up here. I'm going to borrow one of your cards here. Bounce of a golf club, if the shaft is straight up, bounce of a golf club is the downward angle of the sole. And we talk about high bounce wedges, which has a very steep angle, have low bounce wedges, which has a very shallow angle. I'll try to get this at the camera where I can see. But this angle is what determines how the earth is going to reject this golf club as it comes down into the sand or into the turf. And in the wedge business, we probably 60% of our questions are about bounce. We actually have a patented sole that has two bounces in the bottom, but you want to have enough bounce so that this leading edge does not dig a trench. Mm-hmm. And you have some rejecting force out of the turf. But that's what bounce is. You can take a golf club and look down the sole like this, and you can see how much bounce that golf club has. And that, if you play a course that primarily has firm turf, the experts say you need a low bounce. You have a course that has primarily softer, fluffier turf, you need a high bounce. That advice I pick on a little bit because every course I've ever played had all of that.
Yeah.
And so what you really need is a wedge that's very versatile. And the only way to find that out is to go try that wedge and find all the different lies on your golf course and make sure it works from all of them. And if they won't let you try the wedge, don't buy it.
Don't buy it. Very good advice. I love that term, though, that when you say so the next time I fat one, I'm going to look at my group of guys and go, I guess the earth rejected my
it
shot.
Didn't just like no,
said.
It didn't reject
I love
it.
That.
It ate your golf
it
club.
It ate my golf club. You know, yeah. Horrible.
When you bounce off the ground and you hit it right in the eyebrows and it flies over the green and across the water hazard
horrible
into the freeway,
things.
That's when the earth rejected
that's
it.
That's it. Horrible things. All right, last one. Richard says he's been playing golf with a chipper for years and doesn't think converting over to wedges would help. Any thoughts? That's a great question. And for you people that don't know what chippers are, Terry's going to tell you, and they happen to be illegal, by the way. But
well, Richard, if you're a scratch and that chipper is getting you to scratch, I say go for it. But my bet is you're probably not. And there is no substitute for good wedge play. And you can learn a good wedge technique, and you can have two or three really good wedges of different lofts in your bag. And it will add a whole dimension to scoring that you don't have with that chipper. That chipper has its place, but if there's a bunker between you and the green, if the grain of that grass on the collar is growing toward you, that chipper is going to handicap you. And it's not a hard thing to learn. Grab a golf professional, pay him for an hour short game lesson, let him look at your wedges. We have 30,000 golf professionals in this country. 8% of golfers have ever taken a lesson. If you love this game, go to your pro and get lessons because it's going to help you
and
score.
And get good. Scott, another live chat?
Yeah, Bill wants to know, do golfers normally only have one wedge in their bag or do they have multiple wedges?
Well, being a wedgemanist, I'd like to have 20 or 30 in most of the golfers' bags, but it's not really realistic. Wedges are your money clubs. Your short end is set. As we've seen in the golf industry, the irons have been strengthened in loft with the advent of cavity back. Pitching wedges used to be a 50 or 51 degree golf club. Now they're a 45, 44. There are at least two new irons on the market that the P club, as I call it, is 42 and 43 degrees. It's not a pitching wedge anymore.
No.
You have to have enough loft to be able to get the ball in the air. But we like to recommend about every 4 degrees you need another club. And that lets you have what we call gap management. It lets you have full swing, reliable distances. Back to the question the other gentleman asked about, those half wedges. Well, if you have a bigger arsenal of tools, you have more options.
You have more to purse that.
You have more options in scoring range.
Real quickly, we're just about out of time. Where can people find your wedges, find your website? Give them an address.
We're at scoregolf.com. It's scorgolf.com. We've just launched what we believe is a very revolutionary approach to scoring clubs. We have 21 different lofts. We can build a custom set of wedges with exactly what any golfer needs for gap management, which is a big part of wedge play, as we just mentioned. But it's scorgolf.com.
All right.
And the whole story is there.
And if you want to get your game better, you do the short game and go visit his website. Terry and I were at the Fall PGA Expo here in Las Vegas. That concluded today. There's my badge, so I'm legal. I don't know where his badge is. Anyway, we're out of time. thanks for tuning in to this edition. Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. For Terry Kaler, I'm Dennis Silvers. Fairways and Greens to everybody. We'll see you right back here next week, same time, same place. With another great show. Until then, fairways and greens, everybody. We'll see you all back later. So long.
Fun.